Okay, so I'll wait to hand out the sign-in sheet until more people show up, but... I will do that at the end.
They self-quarantined themselves.
I'm going to self-quarantine.
So, I mean, just to let you know, so I'm going to hand back to the quiz at the end. Most people did pretty well. There was no perfect score, but there was a lot of just 1 point off or 2 points off. So you guys did pretty well, especially on the factoring. I was surprised that that last page, which was all factoring, many people got all of them right. I think most of the points that were taken off were on that first page. And you'll see that. But so I just want to review very quickly, do a couple of factoring problems, and then we're going to get into some more factoring. So hopefully you guys can see this. This is, again, something weird about this display. So if you can't see it, let me know. I just thought I would do the last couple of problems from the notes last time. I don't know that we didn't get to talk about them. So 9x squared minus 12x plus 4. And we want to factor that. So I look at to see if there's a greatest common factor, and doesn't look like there is one. So make the x, and 9 times 4 is 36, so that goes up here, and negative 12, the b value goes down at the bottom here, and what will multiply to give 36 but add together to give negative 12? Now sometimes these can be tricky. Well, 9 and 4 doesn't give you 12.
Negative and negative.
And you want it to... It's going to end up being negative and negative.
Negative 9, negative 4.
Huh?
Negative 9, negative 4.
No, negative 9, negative 4 doesn't work, because negative 9 plus negative 4 doesn't give you negative 12. Negative 9 plus negative 3 gives you...
Oh, yeah.
Negative 12. Yeah, so 6 and 6. So negative 6... and negative 6. And so we get 9x squared minus 6x minus 6x plus 4. And factor, so let's see, maybe 3x. So 3x times 3x minus 2. And then minus what? 2 times 3x minus 2. So we're bringing down this minus sign. Because this is a plus, this now becomes a minus because we have to factor out a minus. So then you get 3x minus 2 times 3x minus 2. You all see that? And we can, it's better to write this as 3x minus 2 squared, but this is fine the way it is if you want to leave it that way. Okay? This is just a little warm-up. Let's do the next one. This is at the end of yesterday's notes, or last week's notes. So 20a plus 3a squared... plus 12. What's the first thing we have to do?
Reorder.
Yes, reorder. If you try to factor this without reordering, it'll mess with your mind a little bit. So I'll rewrite this as 3a squared plus 20a plus 12. Are there any common factors? No. So, make the x. 3 times 12 is 36, put a 20 here. What would be good choices for the numbers? Again, sometimes these can be tricky. What are the factors of 36?
18 and
2. Yeah, 18 and 2. Very good. So 18 and 2, and they're both positive. So 3a squared plus 18a plus 2a plus 12. And then factor by grouping. So 3a times a plus 6 plus 2 times a plus 6. So a plus 6 can be factored out. So we get a plus 6 in parentheses times 3a plus 2. And we look at these, we can't factor those any further, so we're done with that. Okay? So just a little warm up. Now, today we're going to be talking about something called sum of squares and difference of squares. And so it might be a good idea to kind of refresh our memory on what perfect squares are. In this course, we'll only talk about perfect squares, although the sum of squares and difference of squares can be looked at without using perfect squares. But the what are the perfect squares from 1 to 100? Can we list them? I think 1 is 1. What's the next one? Do we know what we mean by a perfect square? So like 1 squared is 1. 2 squared is 4. So that'd be the next one. What's the next one? 3 squared is 9. Now, the reason I'm going through this is because this is a skill that's going to help us identify when we can do difference of squares. We're going to find out that we cannot factor sum of squares, but we can factor difference of squares, but we have to know what those squares are. Otherwise, this becomes difficult. So, now you don't have to memorize all of them, although it doesn't hurt to do so. What's the next one? So we did, what was that? 3 squared is 9. What's the next one? 4 squared is 16. Next one? 5 squared is 25. Next one? 36. That's 6 squared. 7 squared? 49. 8 squared is 64. 9 squared, 81. 10 squared, 100. Now, back in the day, we'd go sometimes to 12. 11 squared is 121. 12 squared is 144. But I would say the most important are from 1 to 100. And what we're going to find is that when we see these numbers, we need to react. Like, oh, that's a perfect square. Like if we see 36, we think, okay, perfect square. If we see 81, we think perfect square. Because that's going to be useful in doing the factoring. So, you've got the list. You might just kind of look at it once in a while, and you probably know most of them if you don't already. Just kind of peek at the list once in a while and maybe use it to refresh your memory. Okay. So, now how do we use this? Well, let's look at the first page of the notes. I think I'll go ahead and hand out the sign sheet. So they're telling us a new formula that we haven't seen before. That if you see something of the form a squared minus b squared, so perfect square minus a perfect square, then you can factor it into a plus b times a minus b. And we're going to see why that works. But so it's telling us to recognize this, it has to be two terms. So if you have a three-term polynomial, that's not going to work. That's not going to be a difference of squares. Both terms are perfect squares. So a squared is the square of a. B squared is the square of b. So, and we're going to see examples where we have the difference of squares. And then the third, and this may be a very big requirement, is that it has to be subtraction. You can't do this with addition. It does not work if you're adding perfect squares. Now later on, we'll see that we can actually do something with sum of squares, but it'll require complex numbers, and we're going to talk about complex numbers later on. Okay, so remembering this formula up here, notice x squared minus 16. So x squared is a perfect square. We don't know what x is. X is a variable, but x squared is a perfect square. And 16 is a perfect square. We can see that from our list. 16 is 4 times 4. And notice there's subtraction between them. And it's two terms. So x squared minus 16 is what we call the difference of squares. And if we, when you see difference of squares, you can write that using this formula. So now what is A in this case?
X.
What is B in this case? B squared is 16. What is B?
4.
So let me write that actually. So A is X and B is 16. If it helps you to write that, go ahead and write it. After a while, you won't have to write those. But and then the formula says a squared minus b squared. So this is a squared is x squared minus b squared. Did I write 16? That was wrong. What should I have written?
4.
Okay. So how do we factor x squared minus 16? Well, that's equal to x plus 4 times x minus 4. And we can multiply this out to see that we're right. So if we FOIL, so this is x times x, which is x squared, minus 4x, plus 4x, minus 16. And what happens is the minus 4x and the plus 4x cancels, and that gives you x squared minus 16, which is what we started with. Okay, so now you could go ahead and make your x your big cross and factor it just like you were trying to normally, but it's easier if you recognize that we have this special kind of form here, this difference of squares. Now let's do another one. Is this the difference of squares? No. Is there anything we can do to make it possibly be a difference of squares? No? We can factor out the greatest common factor, right? Is there a greatest common factor? Well, certainly y is a common factor. What else is a common factor? 5. So I'm going to factor out a 5y. So 5y times y squared minus. Now, 5 goes into 80.
16.
Is it 16? So 16. And so it looks like inside the parentheses we have a difference of squares. In fact, it looks very much like this problem over here. So I can now write 5y, and now I'm going to put two sets of parentheses because we already know how to factor this. What do I write over here? Y plus 4 and y minus 4 in the other set of parentheses. And now we're done factoring that problem. And if you wanted to, you could reverse the process, multiply these together, you're going to get the y squared minus 16, and then multiply by 5y, and you're going to get back to your 5y cubed minus 80y. Okay? Now, let's have a look at what's really going on. Okay. So it's asking the question, why is the sum of squares prime? Well, notice you got x squared plus 0x plus 16. So they've rewritten x squared plus 16 as a trinomial where that middle term is 0x. And we know how to factor that, or at least we know how to try factoring it. So 1 times 16 is 16, because we're using the AC method. And then the middle term is 0, so we put a 0 down here. Is there any way to multiply two numbers to get 16, such that when you add them together you get 0? No. Because this is positive. And the only way you can get positive is if you have either positive times positive or negative times negative. But if you have positive plus positive, let's say 4 and 4, right? Well, 4 plus 4 is 8. It's not 0. And let's try negative 4 times negative 4. Well, negative 4 plus negative 4 does not give you 0. It gives you negative 8. And there's no other combination of factors that multiply together to give 16 that add together to give 0. So we say that x squared plus 16 is prime because we can't factor it. Now, again, we're going to see that later we can factor it if we use complex numbers, but in this, in the real number system, the numbers that we're using, we cannot factor it. On the other hand, if we have x squared plus 0x minus 16, so this is really just x squared minus 16 with a 0x stuck in the middle, and so this is a difference of squares, right? X squared is a perfect square, 16 is a perfect square, we've got subtraction. But we can try to factor this with the AC method and see what happens. So 1 times negative 16 is negative 16. So that number goes up here. 0 is our middle term. And now, is there any way to find two factors that multiply together to give negative 16 that add together to give 0? Yeah, say negative 4 and positive 4. Because negative 4 times positive 4 is negative 16, and negative 4 plus positive 4 is 0. So that's why this works for difference of squares, but does not work for sum of squares. So we can finish the process. We can say, well, x squared minus 4x minus 4x minus 16, oops, plus, sorry, one of them is plus. And now if we factor, what do we get? We get x times x minus 4 plus, and then 4 times x minus 4. And so we can factor out the x minus 4, so we get x minus 4 times x plus 4, and that's how we factor it, difference of squares. Okay? Now, you see the amount of work that we had to go through to do this process, whereas if we just recognize that x squared minus 16 is the difference of squares, we can immediately write down x plus 4 times x minus 4. Okay? Now, if we reverse it, we can also write this as, I think up here I wrote it as x plus 4 times x minus 4, and down here I wrote it as x minus 4 times x plus 4. Are those the same thing?
Yes.
Yeah, they're the same thing. So either way of writing the factors is fine. And both are using the same formula. Okay? Now you guys are experts on difference of squares. A little bit of practice. Okay, so now it says student activity. So let's go ahead and do this. Maybe I'll just read through this first part here. So first step, order and GCF. Order, by that we mean write the terms in the right order. And then if there's a GCF, find the GCF and factor it out. Then second step, classify by the number of terms. So if it's four terms, you would do by grouping. If it's three terms, you'd probably do the X method, the AC method. Or you could do trial and error if you feel comfortable with that. Or if it's two terms, it might be a difference of squares, and you could factor that. And then final step, factor completely and check. So go ahead and write an answer for the blank here. And in fact, go ahead and do this second problem, the second question. Go ahead and do those three problems, those factoring problems. Stop there and kind of regroup and make sure that we're on the same page. Okay, so before starting, make sure the terms are written in order of something powers. what would be the right word here?
Descending
or decreasing? Descending or decreasing. The first step in every factoring problem is to look for a
GCF.
And now we can factor these pretty easily, I hope. 25x squared minus 9. So I'm just going to put two sets of parentheses. What goes in this one? 5x plus 3. 5x minus 3. What about this one? It's prime. Because, why is it prime? Sum of what? I can't hear you guys. Sum of
terms.
Squares. So, the reason we can do this one is because this is a difference in squares. The reason we can't do this is because it's a sum of squares. Just because it's a sum of terms doesn't mean we can't factor it. Because it might have a greatest common factor that we can factor out. But this one doesn't have a greatest common factor. This is a perfect square. This is a perfect square. But because it's the sum of squares, we cannot factor it. So it's important to know the term, because when you see it, then you'll know why it's prime. And if I ask you on a quiz or a test, you know, why can this not be factored, then you can tell me sum of squares. What about this one? I think it can be factored. What would you factor? How would you factor it?
GCF 8.
Yeah, the GCF is 8, so you bring an 8 out. So 8 times 2 minus z. And that is fully factored. Okay? Okay, prime polynomials. Which polynomial above is not possible to factor it? Okay, that guy, circle it and briefly explain how you know in the blank below. So on this blank here, why is it not possible to factor it? Sum of squares. That's very good. So, sum of squares. Or maybe we say sum of squares cannot be factored. Now again, truth in advertising. Sum of squares cannot be factored now. We're going to come back later and see some of these can be factored, but for now, they cannot. Okay, difference of squares. Which polynomial above is a difference of squares? And we're talking about these up here. So which polynomial is difference of squares? 25x squared minus 9. Write it in the space below and factor it. Okay, well, we already did that. So 5x plus 3 times 5x minus 3. And that's it. And then GCF, factor the remaining polynomial in the space provided. So we did that. 16 minus 8z is equal to 8 times 2 minus z. Okay?
Boy, this is weird.
Have we ever seen this before in here, in this classroom?
No.
I wonder how that happens. Okay. Okay, so three-term polynomials. We call those trinomials. What method do you use to factor polynomials with three terms? Explain briefly. So, I can think of a couple. What method do you use? The AC method. So AC method. Or, I'm going to put in parentheses, or trial and error. Some people don't like trial and error. But it is a possibility. What method do you use? And I don't think we need to explain that. That's just, we already know how to do that, right? Everybody knows the AC method. Four-term polynomials. What method do you use to factor polynomials with four terms? What do you call it? Yeah, so factoring by grouping. So group the first two terms and the second two terms, and I don't think we need to spell that out because you guys are already pretty good at this. Final steps, factor completely and check. The following polynomials are not factored completely. Okay, so this is kind of what we were talking about before. Maybe you did something that causes you to factor something into two factors like this. But you look at it and you see, well, something's wrong. What's wrong? Yeah, this first factor is not factored completely. Because the 3x squared minus x, now whether we did something wrong to begin with, or we just, maybe we didn't factor out the greatest common factor, or whatever it was, when you get to this point and you see that you can still factor one or more of the factors, you've got to go ahead and do that in order to say that it's fully factored. So, so write the complete factorization in the blank provided. So, how can we factor this first factor? Bring an x out. So 3x minus 1. Remember that ghost 1. And what else do I have to write? X plus 5. So if you're in a hurry and you forget, oh gee, I've got to factor this, and then you go ahead and factor the, but you forget to write the x plus 5, then it's not correctly factored then. So this is, be sure to get all the factors. Now this is going to happen a lot, actually, because there is no common factor to x squared minus 25. And so you may run into this periodically where you have this, what is the situation called? What is it? Say it louder. Difference of squares. So one of your factors may end up being a difference of squares. So let's go ahead and complete the factorization of this. So I'm going to write these two terms, or these two factors, and then I'm going to go ahead and write the 2x plus 1. Now, what do we want to write in here? X plus 5 and x minus 5. And again, remember that this is a perfect square. X squared is a perfect square. 25 is a perfect square. And it's the difference of perfect squares. And so then, you know, we don't write the x squared, we write x. So it's x that's being squared and 5 that's being squared. So we can fill in the blanks pretty easily. Especially with perfect squares. You know, if it was some other number, like 3, 3 is not a perfect square. So we might not know how to factor that. Okay, checking. How do you check your factoring to make sure it is correct, equivalent to the original polynomial? What would you do?
Distribute.
Yeah, distribute. Multiply it out. Simplify. Hopefully those things would get you back to where you started from. Caution. This process does not check to make sure it is factored completely. For that, you must examine all your factors. I don't know what they're saying there. I think we've said that already. Okay. Last page. Boy, we're moving fast today. I don't know what this means. So, student practice. So, let's go ahead and do all of these problems. There are 6 of them. So, you do them, and then after you've done them, I'm going to come back and do them to make sure we've got all the same correct answers.
Sorry, that's not B. B is what C is in the factorial. force positive.
Okay, so
this
question is, you have to do the first trick was to say boil these two.
Do you agree with the
whatever result this is going to be was multiplied by that factor.
So you can just do good
things.
Disregard the 12.
Likewise.
So, yeah.
But this is also a difference of squares. One is a square. One is a perfect square. Yeah. And P the fourth is P squared times P squared.
You can do that.
Huh? Yeah. Well, I'll walk through all of them. But yeah, I left that one blank so I can do it with
them. I did it the other way around. Yeah. So you keep your. Keep that and that. So
you guys want to look at what I've got? So, I think you can just see, did you all get number 10 correct?
I think so.
The first thing I did was I factored out a common factor of 2. You don't have to do that, but if you don't, you'll end up with a factor at the end that has an extra factor of 2. So, and then what remains, you can factor by grouping. But you also end up with, when you get to this point, you get an x squared minus 4. What do you have to do to the x squared minus 4? Well, that's a difference of squares, so you have to factor it. So that's how we get these factors. And then 10b, so I always factor out the leading minus sign. If you have a minus sign at the beginning, you want to make sure that your greatest common factor, at least you factor out that minus sign. In this case, we could factor out a negative 12t squared, and when you do that, you end up with something in parentheses t squared plus t minus 12, and that can factor into t plus 4 times t minus 3. And I think a lot of you got that. Number 11a, so I did this by the AC method, and so it's basically, there were no common factors, so I just factored by group, well, do this, then factor by grouping, and you get 3a plus 4 times 2a minus 1. So I think a lot of you got that. And before I do B, I just want to finish off these others. So this is a trinomial. I used the AC method to factor it. 2 times 3 is 6, and then the middle term is negative 7. Actually, you factor out an X first. That's the greatest common factor. So then you can factor the thing in parentheses with the AC method. And you can see how I did that here. Don't forget this factor of X that you pulled out at the very beginning. And if you didn't pull it out, you probably one of these factors had an extra factor of X that you could bring out as the greatest common factor. And the 12b, now this, you don't immediately recognize it as a difference of squares because of the 75. 75 is not a perfect square. 3 is not a perfect square. But if you pull out the common, the greatest common factor, which is 3n, then you get 25 times n squared minus 1, and that is a difference of squares. And so 25n squared minus 1 can be factored as 5n plus 1, 5n minus 1. But don't forget the 3n that you pulled out at the beginning. Okay, so I want to come back to this 11b, and because some of you were having trouble with this, I think. And let's just walk through this. So this is a difference of squares. 16p to the 4th is actually a perfect square. What is it the perfect square of? 4p squared. And then 1, of course, is a perfect square. 1 times 1. So I can write this as 4p squared plus 1 times 4p squared minus 1. Now I have to look at what the factors are at this point and see if we're done. What about this factor? The 4p squared plus 1. Are we done with it? Nod your head if you think we're done with it. Are we not done with it? Why not?
Because you can get 2p.
Well, but this is the sum of perfect squares. And if it's a sum of squares, what can we say about it? Prime. What about the second factor? What? Can we factor that? Yeah, because it's the difference of squares. So we get 4p squared plus 1. That doesn't change. And then we get our two factors for the 4p squared minus 1. What are we going to get over here? 2p plus 1, 2p minus 1. So when you see a power here that's maybe an even number, like 2 or 4 or 6 or 8, those things are perfect squares. And depending on the number out in front here, you might be able to factor that as the sum, as the difference of squares. But when you get to a certain point, one of those may be a sum of squares, and that one is prime. That factor is prime, but then the other factor might be the difference of squares, and you can factor that. Okay, well, you guys did good today. Diane wanted me to remind you about this, the handout that she gave you the other day, Factoring Strategies, which with a lot of extra problems in there. So
the very back page.
Very back page. So you can see that a lot of these problems, in fact, it looks like they're all difference of squares. Now, some of those numbers, like, I don't know.
What's number 9?
Number 9, so 289, is that 17 squared?
I don't know. I would need my calculator.
Yeah.
You applying your calculator too. So you would enter like the square root symbol of 289.
Yes, 17 squared.
And see if it pops out to be a perfect square. And it is. It's 17. Okay, I'm sorry.
And then like here's a 121 and that's 11 squared. But there's some, so some of these are kind of big numbers, and also like this bottom number 29. So these are we going to talk about these with the x squares and y squares?
Why don't you do one? Why don't you do the 27 one?
Okay, so 121 is 11 squared, 9 is 3 squared, but then we've got an x squared and a y squared. So I can write this as 11x plus 3y times what? 11x minus 3y. So that's how you would factor that one. If it contains both x's and y's, this 9y squared is a perfect square. It's the square of 3y. This 121x squared is a perfect square. It's the square of 11x. And so that's how we can write it this way.
Okay? So give them a shot. I think there's probably more here than you care to do, but you'll find that they're actually pretty easy once you get the hang of them. And then there's some others on previous pages in this handout that you might want to go through and just kind of sample a few. What I do when I have like homework problems or these kinds of handouts in my own personal life, I want to be able to do all of the problems. That may not be possible, but so sometimes I'll pick maybe a hard problem. Sure, do a couple of easy problems, but maybe pick one harder one. And if you can do the harder one, you probably could do them all. So just have some fun with that. And it'll prepare you. So we've got, this week we've got, so we're going to lecture tomorrow on equations, solving equations. And you're going to see all of this stuff come together. Because how do we solve these equations? Well, they're going to be polynomial equations. And the way you solve a polynomial equation is by factoring. You factor the polynomial, you set it equal to zero or whatever. And then you can figure out what the answer is, the solutions to the equation. So factoring is going to be very important in solving equations. So we'll do that tomorrow. And then Wednesday we'll have the quiz over today and tomorrow. And then Thursday and Friday will be part A and part B of exam four. And then spring break. Yay! Okay, so I've got the graded exams. Let me first hand out the solutions. I've got the key here.
I don't know if you guys need the key, but anyway, I made it. That I need to say anything about the test. Several of you waited, a lot of you actually waited until I graded it, so I've already made comments to you. If you have any questions, talk to me or to Diane. And if you don't have any questions, you're free to go, I guess. Diane, did you have anything else?
I got nothing.
Okay.